Father, we thank you today for your everlasting word, and it is just like a flame burning in our hearts. Lord, we pray today that you will take your word and use it in our hearts. Teach us the role of love, and teach us that we can have your love operating in us at all times. It is not dependent upon us entirely, other than to just allow you to have your work and do in us and through us what you desire to do. And if we will get that far, you will take us the rest of the way, because it is your love operating in us. It is not that which emanates from within our own weak and sometimes evil hearts, but it is your own love at work in us as your children. So today, teach us how we may walk in love. Teach us that this is to be the rule. And Lord, that in this way, Lord, it would be you at work in us. It would be you doing the works, and that those works would remain because they have been done in your love. Thank you for your love for us. It is a redeeming love. It is a transforming love. That is the love that you want all of us to experience in its fullness, and the love that you want us, by your grace, to reflect and pass on to others. So now today, take your word and use it in our hearts effectively, we pray. In Christ's name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And yes, we've been talking about 1 Corinthians 13, which is, many refer to it as the love chapter. And it is sandwiched right between two chapters that have to do with the function and the exercise of spiritual gifting. And he tells us that we should be zealous and that we should desire spiritual gifts. And he explains that they are very valuable in the body of Christ, that they are all expressions of the Holy Spirit at work. They are all given for specific reasons and purposes for the good of the body. And when they work, just like the different members of our body, when each of your liver's doing what it's supposed to do, and your kidneys are doing what they're supposed to do, and your heart and lungs are doing what they're supposed to do, and all of that, it's a beautiful thing. And so it is when the gifts work in unison together. They're different, but they work in unison together. But the thing that makes this possible is love. And the reason there is a breakdown, and the reason that even when gifts are exercised, that they don't work like they ought to and don't achieve what they ought to, is because of the absence of love. And this is why the Apostle Paul inserts the chapter there on love. It's just a short little chapter, but it says so much. And so he shares that, and then he gets back on the topic that he was on and begins chapter 14 by saying, follow the way of love. It's a lifestyle. It's a daily thing. It's a road. The way is a road. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. So, it's not all one or all the other, but he does make the point very clearly in the opening verses of chapter 13 that we can have all the giftedness in the world, but if it isn't done in love and by love and through love, we have basically achieved absolutely nothing. So that is why it is so important that everything be done and undertaken in love. And for those of you who are results-oriented, those of you who are, there are people that if you ask them something, they'll say, oh yeah, I did this and I did that and I'm on this board and I'm on that committee and I've done this, and they can give you a list of achievements this long. That's all fine and good. But when we stand before the Lord, is that what we're going to show the Lord? I don't think so. And anything that wasn't done in love, as he defines it, is basically, it's going to come up as a big zero. And so somebody's going to hit a delete button, and it's all going to be gone. And what will remain is what has been done in love. So, as Christians. And now today, I'm going to start using the term God's love, because that's what he's talking about. The word agape is a very, very special word in the Scripture. And it is used primarily in Scripture and not in secular Greek texts. And I do believe that it's a special word that God gave us to talk about his divine love. And I can tell you that in the natural, none of us possesses it. We are all born very self-centered. I have read that there are doctors who believe that a little baby in his crib, crying with clenched fists, angry because he's not getting exactly what he wants at that moment. Mommy or somebody didn't bring the bottle quite quick enough. But there are doctors who have stated that it is their considered opinion that that baby is so angry in that moment that if he could, he would kill. But I can tell you this, every single one of us is born self-centered. Every single one of us. Now, as we grow, we learn that it's not all about us. And there are those who, even in the natural, it display great compassion or great philanthropy or whatever. But I can tell you one thing. No one is born with agape love. Agape love is God's love. Agape love is divine love. And the only time that agape love can become operative in an individual is at the point of conversion, when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And when the Holy Spirit moves in, he is the expressor of agape love. He takes up residence in our hearts. And in Romans 5, it tells us that God's agape, God's love, has been shed abroad, poured forth, poured out into our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to use this term God's love, because it's God's supernatural love. And I want you to understand, Christian, who have struggled for years and years and years to love as you should love, you will never love as you should love in your own strength and in your own self. You are not capable. You were not born with that capability. And even as a believer, you do not have it, except in and through the work and the expression of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God's love, which he has poured out in our hearts, that is operating. So quit trying and quit struggling. And quit beating up on yourself every time you fall a little bit short. Wouldn't you expect to come a little bit short? Of course you would. Because you don't have that capability. And so, as we pray to the Lord, I want to grow in love. How do I grow in love? Well, the way I grow in love is that the Lord begins to fill me more and more with his love. Now, there are things that I can do. I can get into the word of the Lord. I can read his word. I can study his word. I can spend time in prayer with him. And I can ask him for the gift of love to become more operative in my heart and in my life. And if I really want that, and if I really mean that, do you think he will do that for me? Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and if your child asks you for bread, you won't give him a stone, then how much more will your heavenly Father not give what? Good gifts to those who what? Ask him. And so this needs to be a prayer of our heart. Lord, how many have ever heard some phrase like, less of me, more of you? You've heard about that? Nowhere does that apply more than in the issue of love. And if you want to set yourself up for defeat, just try to do God's kind of loving in your own strength. And I guarantee you, no matter who you are, no matter how saved you are, and no matter how many years you've been in church, you will always fall short. Preacher included. So today, last week, he talks about love. Love is the most excellent thing. Do you want to bring excellence to everything you do? As God sees excellence, then it must be done in love. Love is the most essential thing. Chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. And love is the most enduring thing. I believe those are verses, 5 and 13. But those are the three points that he makes. And so today we're going to talk about this a little bit more now. Let's talk a little bit more about characteristics of God's love. I may not spend as much time as you expect on the specifics, like love is patient, love is kind. We kind of know what love does, right? But I want to make that point right now. Let's read that right now. He says, If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then he talks about the characteristics of love. And this is what he says. Love is patient. What is patient? It didn't say you are patient. It says love, God's love is patient. Let me tell you, God's love is what it is. He is called the great I am. And so God is all of these things. God is love. In Spanish, we have two words for is or to be. One is temporary, está. And one is permanent, es. And so if we say so-and-so is eating, we say está comiendo. They're eating right now, but they may not be eating 20 minutes from now. But if we say so-and-so is tall, then we use a different verb, and that means they are tall. They're going to be tall today, tomorrow, and the day after, unless somebody chops their legs off, right? So this is the permanent verb, folks. Love is. Love. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Love doesn't have to struggle to be kind. Love is kind. All the time. Because it's a quality of God who does not change. God isn't love one minute and not so much love the other minute. So we're not reading here. We're reading. That's why he words it this way. Love is patient. It's patient all the time, no matter where you find it or who it may be dwelling in or expressing itself through. Love is patient. I'm the one that's not patient. Love is patient. So guess what? If God's love is operating in me, then guess who all of a sudden is patient, even though I wasn't born with patience? And it's a supernatural thing. And it's available. It's available to every believer. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a natural expression of the Holy Spirit. It is natural. It comes naturally. These things come naturally to love. They don't have to be forced. They don't have to be trumped up. They are as natural as the day is long. And so, if I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit is working through me, I don't have to struggle to love in that moment, because His love is working right through me. It's flowing right through me. It's doing the job. Hallelujah. You got the current going through the machine. You know, the machine's dead until the current comes through it. Isn't that right? And then all of a sudden, it comes to life. Love is patient. Love is kind. In this NIV translation, 9 times the word love is used in 13 verses. And then if you add the 8 times that it's referred to as it, you get 17 times in 13 verses. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, now there's some things love does not do. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I may be, but love isn't. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. I may be, but love isn't. It keeps no record of wrongs. Maybe I do, but it doesn't. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects. When? Always. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, does your love always do all those things? That should be further proof that what we're talking about here is God's love, not our love. And love, God's love, never fails. Mine has a breaking point. Mine has a limit. His does not. So let's go through this for those of you who like to fill in the blanks here. Let's go over some of the characteristics. God's love always acts out of His own unchanging character and nature. We're talking about agape love. Therefore, its responses come from within itself and are not determined or altered by men's actions, attitudes, or responses. How many of us have ever said, "Oh, well, if that's the way you feel"? God's love doesn't do that, because God's love is a constant. God's love acts independently of outer. It is kind. It is. It's not that only if certain other things happen. So it acts independently of those things. And thank God that it does. Imagine the trouble we would be in if God's love was in somehow affected by our responses or attitudes on any given day. Number two, God's love never acts out of character. No response of God's love is ever forced, faked, or manufactured. Probably every one of us here has just strained to love somebody at some point in our life. Not because we wanted to, but we thought we should, or that the Lord wanted us to. But it was forced. Oh, this is so hard. That's how you know it's not God's love at work in you at that moment. Because if it was His love, it wouldn't be forced and it wouldn't be hard. Because that's the character and the nature of His love. But His love never acts out of character. I'm told that the Disney characters down at Disney World, the ones that walk around like Goofy and all of them, shaking all the little kids' hands, they are never to break character. That is a tremendous part of their training. Never, never are you out of character. I'm guessing even they slip up once in a while, maybe one of them. But God's love never acts out of character. If it's kind, it's always kind, never out of character. And no response of God's love, nothing that is initiated or comes or has its source in God's love, is ever forced, faked, or manufactured. It is the real deal. Number three, God's love knows no natural limits or boundaries. And that's what this verse is about. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It has no breaking point. It has no point at which it is depleted. Whereas human love, even the best and the strongest human love, does have a limit. It does have a line that people can't cross. But God's love does not have those natural limits. Number four, God's love remains constant. It never changes. God is unchanging. And any true quality of God is as unchanging as He is. Now, some characteristics of God's love. This one's pretty basic. God's love is not self-seeking. Compare that to us individually. It is not self-seeking, self-centered, or self-serving. And it has no axe to grind. Number two, God's love will always do the right thing, because God's love does not operate out of convenience or for personal advantage. And God will actually allow you to reject Him if that's what you choose. That's not what He really wants, but He will allow it. And he could probably force us, I guess, if He wanted to, but He chooses not to. And that is part of his love for us. Now, number three, God's love will seek the good of others, even to its own hurt or loss. Now, that's one area where regular human love rarely ventures. Now, for this one, I went outside of 1 Corinthians 13. I went to Romans 5:8. Does anybody here know Romans 5:8 well enough to quote it that we could hear it? Anybody?
But God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
There you go. That's Calvary love. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God's love is Calvary love. And God's love at its peak, as revealed to us, is revealed at Calvary, where Jesus suffered the death. Jesus suffered the punishment. Jesus suffered the separation from God. Jesus suffered it all, and he suffered it in my place so that his righteousness and his perfection could then be given to me as a gift because my sin debt had now been paid in full. And only Calvary love would do that and go there. And we will not venture into those areas. We want love to be reciprocal as much as possible. And we will not really venture there except as directed by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will at times lead us to do that because that is his love. And we would, again, if he gives us the grace to go there, then it won't be a forced thing, but it will be him doing it in and through us. Number four, God's love has an unlimited capacity to absorb, bear up, and endure anything and everything. And that is expressed in that verse. It doesn't have the limits our human love has. Number five, God's love remains constant in the face of injustice, mistreatment, or rejection. And that is not something that our love will do. Our love will write people off at a certain point. Number six, God's love does not fluctuate or fail even in the hardest circumstances. And Romans 8, those last verses there. What can separate us from the love of God? See, nothing. Nothing can, any kind of difficulty, peril, sword, persecution, anything. No, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It does not fluctuate or fail, even in the hardest circumstances. And lastly, God's love is a winner. W-I-N-N-E-R. It is a winner because God's love sees things through to the end. And God's love doesn't just throw in the towel and give up. Now, as we said earlier, are men free to reject God's love if they so choose? Yes, they do have that choice. But do they still have the same opportunity? Let's say that somebody has been a mean and angry person their whole life, and even minutes before they pass on, they repent and they turn to Jesus and they say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you shed your blood for me. Will God receive them and will he forgive them? Yes, he will. Completely, totally, and fully, as long as there is a breath in that body, as long as there is a conscious thought that can be extended to him, he is still there, and he will still receive him. He will not say, well, you lived 99.9% of your life another way, so now it's too late. God will not do that, and he will still receive him. So I just want to read a little thing. It's just based on this. Love isn't touchy, jumpy, grumpy, irritable, or rude. Love is never crude or impolite. Sometimes we are, but love isn't. Love isn't heady, high-minded, self-absorbed, or self-promoting. Love isn't stubborn, stingy, or smug. Love isn't hot-headed, impatient, and rash. Love doesn't hold grudges or keep count of wrongs. Love doesn't rejoice when bad things happen to others, and it doesn't take pleasure in others' misfortunes. Love doesn't look the other way when it sees suffering. Love doesn't push others down while it climbs the ladder, and love doesn't kick others when they're down. Love delights in what is right, and love rejoices when good triumphs. Love outlasts every negative emotion, every evil intent, every violent outburst, every act of rage, every tragedy and misfortune, every twisted scheme of man, and every effort to suppress the truth. At the end of the day, love wins out. Love helps, love empowers, love encourages, and lends a hand. Love hurts, love bleeds, love grieves, and sometimes weeps. Love listens. Love forbears. Love waits. Love yearns. Love prays. Love looks to God for answers. Love trusts divine providence. Love trusts while it waits. Love doesn't have to have everything now. Love doesn't have to know all the answers. Love doesn't have to be the center of attention. Love doesn't have to have its own way all the time. Love doesn't demand perfection. Love doesn't mind when others are in the limelight or when others get the credit. Love can give without getting. Love can give without receiving back. Love can take a slight. Love can endure scorn. Love can withstand ridicule. Love can absorb rejection. Love can identify with others' pain. Love can keep going when everyone and everything else has dropped away from sheer exhaustion. God's love is a constant and can therefore never be exhausted, spent, depleted, or defeated. God's love is constant, unchanging, unfailing, true, enduring, and inexhaustible because these are the characteristics of God Himself. His love is as limitless and enduring as He Himself is, and that's the secret. So, friend, if you struggle with loving, all you have to do is ask the Lord to fill you with His love. How hard is that? Is He waiting to do it? Now, there may be a few things He'll have to get rid of in you while He's filling you with His love. A lot of your prejudices and hurts and mess are going to have to go to make room for His love. Are you willing to let go of them so that His love can fill you? But as His love becomes more dominant, these other things will, you will find that these other things, no matter how deeply ingrained they are, no matter how long standing they are, you will find that they will begin to dissipate just as surely as light dissipates darkness. And the brighter the light becomes, the more the shadows flee away. But it is not something you can do within yourself. It must be the love of God operating in you. But every believer has a place for it in their heart unless you've just filled yourself with so much bitterness and anger and hatred and won't let it go. Now, that's true. If you insist on holding on to that, then there won't be room for His love to fill you. But if you're willing to let go of those things and let Him do that work in you, His love will become functional in you. And when it's His love, it will no longer be hard. It will no longer be a struggle. It'll no longer meet with defeat, because His love is right on target every time. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your love for us, the love that's willing to patiently wait, the love that doesn't write us off after a third or fourth rejection, the love that is still there on the day when we finally decide to say, Lord, I've been doing it My way long enough. Now You take over. And Lord, while we know that we are so weak in ourselves and so limited and so prone to failure in ourselves, in fact, guaranteed to fail, yet in Your love we cannot fail. And the same love with which You have loved us perfectly and through which You have saved us and transformed us and made us new people, that's the same love that You want to be operative in us every single day. That's the love. It's the agape love. It's the love You've made available to Your people for us to experience and then also to extend. So, Lord, today we come and we come admitting that we ourselves are not kind and patient and loving and all of those things within ourselves and probably never will be. But thank You for the comfort of knowing that if Your love is operative in us, we don't have to be those things in the natural, because Your love will always express itself in Your way. So make us, Lord, willing. Make us open and give us that desire down in our heart to say, Lord, I can't, but You can, and I'm willing. Come in and fill me with what I do not have of myself, and do through me what I cannot do of myself. Thank You for loving us so much, and thank You that Your love truly knows no bounds. We praise You, Lord. Open our hearts to Your love, both to experience it and receive it, and also that it might be operative in us toward those You want to love and reach through us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.